she's real fine, my 409.
This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by Autoflex Leasing on 105.3 The Fan.
Well, I saved my
good morning. This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by Autoflex Leasing with your host, David Blassingame.
Good morning.
Tammy Pickard.
Is it morning? Is it nighttime?
It looks
it's dark outside.
It does look like it's about 6 or 7 at night, doesn't it?
Oh, it yes. does, and everyone's lights are on Central. Look at that. Y'all folks on the radio, look down there.
Look at this.
Snuggles, how you doing in there?
My name fits today, doesn't it?
It does.
I need to be somewhere snuggling.
Yep, this is good. Chilly and football and snuggling weather.
Woo-hoo.
We're here every Saturday morning taking your phone calls, 877-881-1053, and your Autoflex Leasing fan texts at 43733. And despite the weather, Autoflex is open today. What are those numbers, David?
And it's a great day to shop at Autoflex because most people do it by phone or on the internet anyway. So those numbers are either 817 or 972-234-1234, 888-234-1234 if you are out of the area. As always, autoflex.com, where you can see all our great pre-owned cars, schedule a test drive, which is not a bad idea today. That way the car is ready for you when you get there. Or get a free Black Book appraisal on your trade-in right there at autoflex.com.
Mm-hmm. Coming up at 9:15, we'll get into why electric car buyers aren't buying electric cars. But first, Consumer Reports came out with their reliability survey.
Yeah, and this is the initial reliability survey that they release every year. And so you have to keep in mind, this is the number of problems reported in the first 90 days of ownership. This is not long-term, this car is going to run great forever. This is nothing like that. It's just, there weren't a lot of problems to begin with. And so that's fairly indicative of quality in a lot of cases, or indicative of a new model car that they may not have worked the bugs out in. The same kind of bugs we're seeing now, we saw last year and year before last, especially the infotainment bugs. Cadillac is still having problems with their Q systems. Some of the new transmissions, the new 9-speeds that are supposed to save you a lot of gasoline, sometimes they don't work quite as well as they're supposed to, so there's issues there. Number one car in 90-day reliability, also long-term reliability, actually, is the Lexus, followed closely behind by Toyota. So Lexus and Toyota took the top two spots. Audi ranked third, and Mazda came in fourth, and Subaru was fifth. Now, when you look at the top 10, only one of the top 10 was an actual a domestic, and that was Buick. Buick was rated number 7. The interesting thing was that Acura and Cadillac dropped 7 spots to 18th and 25th place, and that's way, way down when you consider a 7-spot loss. And a lot of that, again, has to do with new transmissions and infotainment systems.
I have one piece of input about the Acura. I love my little Acura RDX, but I was telling David, I think it's a little overpowered for the weight.
What do you mean?
A lot of times when I give it gas and I'm not trying to, you know, punch it, I burn rubber.
It was an accident, officer.
I squeal my tires, especially if I'm trying to accelerate to pull out, say, onto a service road, so you need to get a little speed up.
Right.
Where my old Ford Edge, you know, it would just go. This one lets everybody know, hey. But sometimes that's gets a little squirrely too,
mm-hmm.
you know, so I don't want to spin out. So I've had to learn how to temper my pulling out into traffic. So that's just the one complaint. But technology's been great. It's comfortable. It's just a lightweight little SUV. So you have to think about that.
Yeah. It's got too much pickup.
It hasn't left me behind, though. So for me, it's reliable.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Well, so, and if you continue down the list, Cadillac, by the way, came back and said, hey, look, we know there's been problems with our Q infotainment system. We're working on that, and that should be cured in 2016. The other issues that they had were with their brand-new Escalade. And again, you've got a brand-new vehicle, and as much as you'd like to believe that cars are made by robots and you get a great deal of consistency, when anyone comes out with a new vehicle and you start putting hundreds of thousands of them on the street, there can be problems that don't turn up until you've looked at a whole lot of cars.
You know what? This might be a good reason people should lease.
Well, and we'll talk about that. Yeah. Yeah. So Honda dropped 4 spots, by the way, all the way to 8th place this year due to infotainment glitches again. And Infiniti dropped 4 spots as problems with their InTouch infotainment system came about. So it's sort of it's sort of a, the same kind of thing is consistent throughout the business. And I think it's because they're trying to include so much stuff in the electronics of cars now. Porsche had a noticeable drop. They went from 10th to 14th place, and that was because of the Cayman and the Macan, which had a below-average debut. Here's the one of the big surprisers. The Tesla Model S had worse-than-average predicted reliability, and they have taken that off of their recommended list. Now, here's why that's unusual. That was the highest-rated car for them when they test drove it. But
right, they gave it 100.
They had to redo the tooling to fit Tesla because it was supposed to be so good. But the reality is they have problems with their drivetrain, with their power equipment, with their charging equipment, with the center console, which includes that big infotainment screen, and also body squeaks and sunroof squeaks and rattles and some leaking. And you don't normally see that, but again, Tesla sells 20,000 of these a year. If you look at a normal car, they sell 300,000. And so they have a way to see this stuff early on, get it fixed, and get it taken care of. Tesla, at 20,000 cars a year worldwide, they're not seeing that much feedback. And so that's why you're seeing this kind of thing. But I think it's interesting, again, that they dropped it out of the recommended because it starts at 72,000. I mean, I would think for 72,000, you would get a car that they would recommend, but no.
So, wow, that's a lot of issues. I wonder if they released it too soon.
Well, no, I mean, it's been out for a few years. Here's the thing. Again, they're just selling 20,000 of these a year, and I'm not even sure about that number. And we're going to talk a little later in the show. We're going to talk about cars that lease and cars that don't lease and people that lease and people that don't lease. And we'll talk a little bit about Tesla and their leasing program and how people pay for those cars. Okay, so Ford made really the largest improvement that was found, and it moved up 7 spots. Kia, Hyundai, Volkswagen moved up 4 spots. BMW and Mercedes-Benz both moved up 3 spots.
I do want to say this for Kia. They moved into number 6 position.
Yeah.
It surprised me, but I'm very happy for them.
Well, again, this isn't...
I hope they're following Hyundai.
Yeah, this is an initial quality report, and long-term, I don't really know how they'll fare, because you just got to look over the next few years.
Well, wait a second. I just realized this is a 2016 new car predicted reliability scale. Okay.
Based on. So, here's the thing. Lexus 1, Toyota 2, Audi 3, Mazda 4, Subaru 5, Kia 6, and Buick 7. Then followed by Honda, Hyundai, Mini, BMW, Volvo, Volkswagen, Porsche, and Nissan. Now, here are the least reliable cars in the first 90 days. Write this down, folks. Lincoln, Ford, Acura, GMC, Chevrolet, Mercedes-Benz, Chrysler, Dodge, Infiniti, Cadillac, Ram, and Mini is way down on the bottom. So
I still think this is a predicted reliability. We'll get out that glass ball, the crystal ball. Yeah. And we'll see next year if any of this was...
Let's hop in our DeLorean. Go back to the future.
There you go.
Check it out. So you said the biggest drops were Cadillac and Acura. What did you say was the biggest increase?
Ford.
Okay, because it went up 6 spots. Okay. Yep.
So, and you know what? A lot of it has to do with how new the models are. It really does. Because when models are new, they still have glitches. I don't know how many people actually go to Consumer Reports and look at the reports on cars anymore. There are a lot of folks that sort of, they see the ads. You know, it's amazing. People see the ads and they believe them. They do.
Right?
Yeah, and some of the ads are very, very misleading in that they'll say, well, our car was the most blah, blah, blah. Well, it was if you look at a very small segment, but if you look at the whole segment or a long period of time, that's not true. So, but I do wonder how many people go to CR and look at those reliability studies. If you're one of those folks that does that, you could text in this morning to the Autoflex Leasing Fan Text 43733 and let us know if you actually still use Consumer Reports. A lot of people consider Consumer Reports is biased toward the Asian brands. That's the other thing. So it'd be interesting to see what people say about that.
Mm-hmm. I've never picked up an issue of Consumer Reports.
I actually subscribe to it.
You do?
I do, because when I'm buying something, I want to know the reliability, and I think they're a good bellwether of the reliability of a lot of different things. Now, whether you're buying a washer and dryer or a vacuum cleaner or a new garbage disposal, they're not a bad place to look.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if that's a generational thing.
Could be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't even actually subscribe to any magazines anymore. I do everything online.
I do too. Yeah. No, I do everything. Well, I do Consumer Reports online.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I have to pay for a subscription to get it though. Now, speaking of a generational thing, millennials lease cars at a greater rate than everyone else in the population. Those folks that were born in 2000, and what are the millennials? They're in their 18 to 35 now?
Yeah, I think it's
18 to 34. Yeah,
1983 to 2001.
Exactly.
According to LendingTree, those are the years you were born.
And in the research I did on this, they referred to them as recession babies. And I guess that's because they've been through a few.
Uh-huh.
And you know,
with the youngest being 14, 2008.
Yeah.
That's just, they were 7 years old. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, here's the thing. The millennials are strapped with debt greater than any other generation in the history of the world, especially college debt. If you go back to 2005, only 32% of millennials had a college loan to pay off. In 2013, that had increased to 52% of millennials having to pay off student loans. So why do they lease? Same reason everyone else does. More car, less money. They want to drive a good car. They don't want to have to spend all of their money on it. And there's about, I mean, the average loan right now has a payment of $480, according to Edmunds, and the average lease has a payment of $400. That frees up $80 a month to do other things with. So the reason that millennials lease is the same reason that other people lease. They get more car for less money. The other thing is millennials tend to not be tied to things.
Mm-hmm.
They are sort of the renting generation. They like to use things when they can to and not pay for the whole thing, just pay as they go. So
right.
Maybe ride sharing would be something that they would find really agreeable,
mm-hmm.
where the older generation wouldn't consider that. Millennials are trendsetters. It's like they are the ones that lead the way now in electronics, infotainment, and that kind of thing. So they just don't want to be tied to anything long term. The other thing is technology changes quickly. And they always want the latest technology. Millennials love the latest technology. So that's why we've seen the increase in millennials leasing cars, and they have become the largest single segment of age group that leases their vehicles.
Hmm. All right, we're going to get into a little bit more about leasing when we get back to the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing.
We're back to the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing.
Welcome back to the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing, with David Blassingame, Tammy Pickard, Snuggles, and me, Sybil. Phone number to the studio is 877-881-1053, or send us your AutoFlex Leasing fan texts. 43733 is that number. And if you're looking to lease or maybe buy a pre-owned car, what are those numbers, David?
Either 817 or 972-234-1234, 888-234-1234, out of the area. As always, autoflex.com. And you can actually go to Autoflex's Facebook page and like it and read all of the stories that we have here and see some pretty cool videos that we've got there at autoflex.com's Facebook page. Please like us. We like you.
Mm-hmm. We like you too.
Yes.
AutoFlex Leasing fan texter. I feel like we do this anytime it rains, but somebody asks, please remind your listeners on the highway to turn the lights on.
Okay. Listeners, turn your lights on.
I mean,
I can see we're watching now.
Big Brother are they turning is watching.
There's one that doesn't have.
Turn on your lights.
Silver little truck in people. The middle by that big yellow truck.
AutoFlex Leasing fan text. AutoFlex Leasing fan text. Do you have leases with fixed buyout options at the end of the lease? Yes, we do. We have all kinds of leases. We have track leases. We have fixed buyout leases. We have every kind of lease you can imagine because, well, that's our name.
We mentioned Back to the Future in the last segment, and CB chimed in on AutoFlex Leasing fan text. He said, my dad had a DeLorean when I was a kid, and Back to the Future came out. It was cool and fun, but it was all looks, no power or speed. I think 88 was the max. He ended up selling it to a guy who totaled it that night.
Yeah.
Talk about a bummer.
I mentioned it on the air last week. I saw one week before last just driving down the street that had Living the Dream on the door of the car. Now, I'm not sure who it is that puts paint or paints on the side of their car with words. I don't know who does that.
Right.
But anyway,
people.
They were living the dream.
Yeah.
That's great. All right, so leasing, we just talked about millennials are starting to do it a little bit more. And also, people who drive electric vehicles are starting to do it a little bit more.
Yeah, and I promise, folks, we're not just talking about leasing, but all of this stuff was brought onto the, it was on the internet last week. It was big news one way or another. So there was a great article on why people that get electric cars don't buy electric cars. And there's really, really good reasons. Here's why. They cost way too much to buy. And most manufacturers have to sell them because of the EPA regulations in different states. If they don't have a low enough CAFE rating, then they can't sell cars in like California. So they have to sell these electric cars. So they heavily, heavily subsidize the leasing programs on the electric cars. We were looking at like a RAV4. A RAV4 without any subsidies is $50,000 if it's the electric RAV4.
Wow.
50 grand.
I've never seen one in Texas.
Even with, I don't think they sell them here, even with the all of the subsidies, it's still $36,000.
So by comparison, what is just a regular gas-powered RAV4 usually?
Hard-loaded 30.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Nicely equipped.
With 30. Everything in the world on it. So anyway, it's just amazing some of the deals that and it's like Sergio Marchionne said last year. He said, we've got an electric car, please don't buy it, we lose $10,000 every time you do.
Right
now,
yeah.
He got in a lot of trouble for that, by the way.
I'm sure. Who is he again?
He's the president of Fiat Chrysler.
I learned that by listening to the Saturday Morning Test Drive.
Now, they do say though that they can lease a 2015 Fiat 500e, the electric vehicle, $2,000 down, $169 a month. Now, that won't include tax, title, and license.
Yeah, plus tax, title, and license. So $2,000 down turns to, TTNL, $2,000,
okay,
TTNL, probably $3,500. It's still a lot of money down. And they're still losing a lot of money on that car. Here's the other thing.
Cheap car. Except if it's electric, how much is it when it's electric? I don't know.
No, it's not cheap at all.
Okay.
And here's the other thing. No one knows what the resale values on these cars is going to be. One of the things that, it's interesting in this article, Tesla would not give them any figures. And there's a good reason for that. No one will make a scientific wild guess as to how much a Tesla is worth in 3 or 4 or 5 years because no one really, really knows. So they don't really want to release that information because it's probably not favorable. I don't think there's a great – in fact, the only leasing program that I know on Tesla is we've got, and it is an open-end lease, which means that the owner would be responsible – for the resale value at the end. Most of the time we do those for people that are, they own their own businesses and they don't care. They're writing the vehicle off. So they don't mind buying it at the end or at least working with a payoff.
But I do not suggest that for the general consumer. Like you, Sybil, me,
mm-hmm.
David driving a car. We would not want that open in lease because we're going to go ahead and estimate our correct miles right up front and get a guarantee at the end. Then, when you do it that way, you can benefit if the car held its value a little bit better.
Right.
Maybe then you could use it as a trade-in on your next lease or purchase. If it didn't, then you give it back to the lender. So the lender takes all the risk, but the consumer must go into it with eyes wide open, build in the proper number of miles that you're really going to drive. People who drive 20,000 miles a year shouldn't sign a 12,000 mile a year lease.
Mm-hmm.
And think about what is sensible for your lifestyle. And for the time that you'd like to keep it, there's a 3-year lease. That goes by really fast for me.
Yes, me too.
I could easily do a 5-year lease because I don't drive that many miles per year. So I'm not tired of a vehicle very quickly. But some people really do want to trade and get something different all the time. So it's really flexible to do the lease as long as you do it to fit your driving habits.
We have very, very interesting listeners on the Autoflex Leasing Saturday Morning Test Drive. David, I was curious if you could answer this. In the hood, guys are starting to install air horns on cars and trucks. Some sound as loud as train horns. Somehow this has to be illegal, right? Big O in Fort Worth. Big O, I don't actually know that, but I do know that we have a number of police officers that listen to our show every Saturday, and so we would ask them to text in. Is it illegal to have air horns on your car or truck that are as loud as a train horn?
I hope not, because I'd like to have one to blow at those texters.
Oh, see, and I was hoping that it was so that people couldn't blow it at me while I was texting.
I'd be blowing that horn at you. Only, though, if I noticed you, like if you're going 50 in a 65 or if you're swerving into my lane.
Mm-hmm.
then I'm going to blow my horn at you.
Well, I've trained myself now because the big rig drivers do like to honk if they see you on your phone when they pull up next to you, which I've said on this show before is more jarring than actually me swerving out of my lane and feeling the bumps and driving back in. So whenever they do that, now if I see a car coming up next to me, I just put my phone down. And then I pick it back up as soon as they pass.
Oh, stop.
I'm not always texting. I mean, sometimes I'm like trying to find a song that I want. You know, you have to scroll through.
I really or love I'm her, looking, ladies and gentlemen. I really love this young lady over here, but I want
to go. Or I'm looking at my navigation or something as I'm trying to figure out where I'm going.
It'll talk to you.
You worry me. It'll talk to you. For you.
I don't know how to do all that.
Okay. So to finish up on this, one of the startling things I thought was about the range on electric cars, it really hasn't changed. The biggest difference in range came from the Nissan Leaf, and it's actually gone up 17 miles per charge. But all of the electric cars that they have in this story ran somewhere around 80, 85 miles per charge to as low as like 68 miles per charge on a Smart for Two. The one outlier, of course, is Tesla, and they run somewhere between 208 and 270 miles per charge according to the battery configuration. Here's the deal. If you live close to where you work, if you don't do road trips, you can drive one of these cars.
I could.
And the cars, some of the giveaways that they have on the leases are crazy. And those are manufacturers that do that, again, because they have to sell the cars some way. So if you can drive a car for so little money, if you can drive a car for $169 a month, $199, $189 a month, it's one of the only ways I know to do that because of the heavily subsidized leases on these cars from the manufacturers. So if you're looking about, you know, to do one, I mean, we can't do that for you. But if you can drive an electric car, not a bad deal. Not a bad deal at all.
Here's an Autoflex leasing fan texter said, I saved over $5,000 because I did a lease with a fixed buyout versus buying a car on a six-year note. Yeah. Oh, I absolutely would. I mean, now, if you want to buy your car and drive it for 10, 12 years, then do that. That's very wise, financially conservative. I wouldn't put it on a six-year note because then you're paying interest for a lot longer. Well, I'd shorten that term as much as I could. But if you really want to save and maybe you're not going to drive that car for 10, 12 years, a lease is awesome. And you can do a five-year lease. Most people are done with it. You know, they're kind of tired of the car and they've put about the number of miles where they feel comfortable that the car's not, you know, that's about as many miles, 75, 80,000 miles. That's as many as I want on it in order for me to be able to feel comfortable about taking a road trip to Houston, right? I want a newer car. I don't want one that's approaching 100,000 miles. Is the mentality of the general consumer that we talk to, right?
Yeah, it is. Well, and again, the thing that keeps most people from driving an electric car is the fact that they have range anxiety. They are going to drive. If you're a couple of miles from the office or even 10 or 12 miles, that's really easy because you can drive it and charge it on the weekend. But it's going to take like overnight to charge. And if you're driving enough miles, and the average person drives 20 to 30 miles both ways, then that's very, very iffy as to whether or not that car would work for you on a long-term basis. Again, the anxiety is there.
Mm-hmm. We got to take a quick break. We'll be back with more Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.
Autoflex Lease, oh yeah.
We're back to the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.
This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing. David Blassingame, Tammy Pickard, Snuggles, and me, Sybil. Phone number 877-881-1053, or you can type to us on Autoflex Leasing Fan Text 43733. Get those thumbs a-working on a Saturday. You can also call Autoflex. What are those numbers, David?
Either 817 or 972-234-1234, 888-234-1234, out of the area. As always, autoflex.com, where you can learn about leasing. You can see all our great pre-owned cars. And you can see the Save Money Monday cars. Those cars are posted under Manager Specials. Those cars are cars that will, in fact, go on sale on Monday. And if we don't sell them, they will, in fact, go to the auction on Tuesday and be sold wholesale. That's why we discount them to the public on Monday, Save Money Mondays. Manager Specials at AutoFlex.com.
Mm-hmm. So during the break, we were talking about the new Texpress lanes. And Tammy said she had a story about it. And I said, I'm so glad because I'm incredibly confused by them. So I'm hoping you can enlighten us.
Well, not a whole lot I can't. Just a little bit. really, my experience came from getting one of those toll tag violation bills.
Oh, those are fun.
Yep. And so then I didn't pay close enough attention to it, apparently. And I got another one with another big fine on it. It got my attention because I thought my toll tag was working.
Right.
Well, I had not changed it over to my new car.
Oh.
And I had an I didn't have the right tag with me. I have an old plastic. Well, pretty soon I'm going to have a sticker. Jose at the NTTA was wonderful.
Their customer service is phenomenal. Awesome. Every time I call, they're so great.
Oh, I know. He walked me through it. He really helped me out. He set me up with a new sticker. So then I started asking him about TexPress. And he let me know that they don't own the tollway. The Dallas North Tollway does not own TexPress. They handle the billing for TexPress.
Oh.
But here's what he did to enlighten me. He told me about the pricing. And really, I mean, you can go on, and he told me to go on the website. I'm at the TexpressLanes.com website, and it talks about the whole process and why the billing is the way it is. So it is a managed lane that they want to keep that TexPress lane running at 50 miles an hour at all times. Therefore, they will raise the rates during peak traffic hours, say from 6:30 in the morning till 9 in the morning, and then from probably about 3:30 till 6 at night when everybody's commuting. They're going to raise the price, which I suppose is supposed to keep more people from getting on the tollway, and that way they can keep the traffic flowing at 50. If it starts to clog up, they start raising the price and raising the price to keep more people from getting on. Now, once you're on, the price stays the same for what it said per mile it was going to be. So if you got on at 25 cents a mile, but the congestion got so heavy it turned into 75 cents a mile, you're still paying 25 cents a mile. But anybody new coming in would pay 75 cents a mile, which means a 10-mile trip is $7.50.
Okay, wow. First of all, that
for an
is
individual.
The most backward reasoning I ever heard in my entire life.
Well, I'm telling
life.
You what was explained.
Like it's going to stop people from getting on because the ticket goes up.
Right.
I don't know. There's a lot of people that would drive on it if it was $2 versus $7 or $10, for sure.
Do you think everyone calculates that? And the
I
other
don't.
Thing is,
yes, if it
no.
says 75 cents a mile before I get on, I'd probably be thinking, well, I don't think I need to spend $10 just to get over there to
And here's
Midway.
The other thing. They tell you to go online before you have your trip, before you get on LBJ, and you can get a discount by going online and filling out some paperwork.
That's only anyone... for an HOV discount, and you must, it's not, okay, let me tell you what it is.
Okay.
Okay. All you have to qualify for the HOV is a valid toll tag, Texas tag, or an easy tag account. You can download the free Drive On TexPress mobile app for smartphones or access Drive On TexPress website on your desktop or laptop or your phone. Register for your Drive On TexPress account by providing your license plate number. Hold on. He just can't wait. It's not so bad. There must be at least two people in the vehicle. Motorcycles don't require a passenger. Your toll tag account must be valid, cannot fall into a negative balance, must be properly mounted on your windshield, and so on and so on. And you can activate your HOV status for the desired HOV periods on that mobile app before entering. But you can also go in there and register these trips up to 7 days in advance.
So
you could kind of plan, this is my work week, and yeah. I know what I'm, you know,
but
during
you don't
that
know
time.
If there's going to be traffic that day or not to plan ahead.
Well, there's always going to be traffic.
That's true. I'm confused by the HOV part of it. So it's not...
You can go in that lane by yourself
okay.
and pay the full price. If you register HOV, it's like half price.
Gotcha. Okay. That part makes a little bit more sense.
I haven't done all of this yet. I do know that all of my friends that have been on it and posted pictures on Facebook of them being the only one on the highway, on the TexPress at mm-hmm. any given time, because probably... And the first 6 months, it's all supposed to be fixed prices, too. They're not supposed to be lowering and raising them. So is it official? How long has it been officially open? About a month?
Yeah, not 6 months for sure.
So right now, you guys, it's fixed pricing for all.
Woohoo! Is this the one? Is it the same thing that's the Chisholm Trail and the one that runs along 183 out in HEB area? Is it all TexPress?
Good question. Maybe one of our really smart listeners could answer. I know that... Some of those TexPress lanes are terribly expensive.
Mm-hmm.
I talked to someone who drives to Houston on a regular basis, and I guess they have a TexPress down there that is so expensive that it's like, you know, $10, $12 every trip.
Yuck.
Yeah, that's what I said.
But that's one of those things when you're sitting in traffic. I know I personally just see an alternate route. I don't compute the math. Like, okay, I've got 10 miles to drive, 75 cents a mile. If I get on here, it's going to be 750. I don't do that.
Exactly.
I just go,
exactly.
There's my route.
Well, it says TexPress lanes were designed for commuters interested in getting from one end of the corridor to the other as quickly as possible. There's a limited number of entrance and exit ramps. Some of them are located on the general highway lanes, while others, such as Preston and Webb Chapel, can only be accessed from the frontage roads. So they feature a reversible connection to and from the US 75 Central Expressway HOV lane that can only be used by carpool drivers and motorcycles. Yeah, it'll be confusing. I think you'd almost have to get it. Yeah, we need somebody to text us in. But they're comprised of three separate tolling segments. Once you enter the TexPress lanes, you'll see pricing signs well in advance of each new tolling segment to help you decide whether to continue your trip or exit.
Okay, so tell us about what happened when you called them and they sent you the bill, right?
Uh-huh.
And you called them and they lowered the bill.
Well, he took my fines off because he saw that I actually did have a toll tag. I was clearly riding around with the wrong one. Mm-hmm. So he wasn't punishing me for being blonde. He was super nice.
So if you actually have a toll tag and you get one of those bills that says you don't have a toll tag, they will, in fact, lower that to a standard charge.
Well, I can't say that. They did. Probably if you get call them with a toot or something, they might not. But I was very nice.
With a what?
An attitude.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Well, a toot.
All right. Let's talk a little bit about fuel cell vehicles, because I think that is the wave of the future.
Well, maybe. And so I ran onto something really interesting last week. I was having lunch with someone and they said they thought electric cars were the future. And I said, well, maybe, but I really think fuel cell cars might overcome them because of a lot of things. You don't have to recharge them overnight. They drive as far as gasoline. They don't weigh a lot more because of the lack of battery. They're still electric because you're generating electricity with a fuel cell. And the person I was talking to really, really got intense about, oh, yeah, electric, that's everything. They're all going to be electric. So I went online. And actually, there is a controversy about fuel cell cars from people that believe that electric cars are the future, and they don't like fuel cell cars. They see fuel cell cars as problematic. They say they leave a larger carbon footprint. I'm not sure how they say that because most of our electricity comes from coal-fired plants. But I was really, really taken aback by the determination that, by golly, that was going to be the way it was. We're all going to drive electric cars in the future. And the thought that it might be something else really, really didn't set well with the person I was having lunch with. It was really an interesting thing to watch. It was a bit of a transformational thing because we were having a very pleasant conversation and they said something about the electric cars and I said something about the fuel cars. And then all of a sudden it turned into a competition.
You know why? It touches on politics a bit, you know? Because all of that seems to be driven by, so I think people have their opinions and they get passionate about it. Mm-hmm. Hey, I do want to jump back and tell you, it looks like TexPress goes basically from Greenville 635 to Luna and 635. That's
it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. Right.
Good to know.
There's a map on there with all the exits. It's, yeah. I'm going to print that out and study it.
Okay,
there we go.
Good. Good for you.
We've got to take a quick break. We'll be back with more Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing.
This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing.
Welcome back. This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing with David Blassingame, Tammy Pickard, Snuggles, and me, Sybil. Phone number 877-881-1053, or send us your AutoFlex Leasing fan texts at 43733. And as always, if you're looking for a new car, maybe you want a certified pre-owned vehicle, you can call AutoFlex because despite the weather, they're open at both locations.
Exactly. Either 817 or 972-234-1234, 888-234-1234. If you're out of the area, AutoFlex.com on the World Wide Web if you'd like to stay home in this mucky weather and shop online. A lot of our folks come to us online now. In fact, the majority of our customers come to us online first, and then we end up speaking with them.
I prefer to do all my shopping online whenever possible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just easier.
I like to touch it, taste it, smell it.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Well, eventually everyone does. I mean, you shouldn't ever get a car that you have not driven. That's one of the amazing things about modern car buyers is they actually, a lot of them decide on a car by reading online, and then they just go get the car. the fly in the ointment there is that it may not fit them very well. Maybe they're long-waisted, so their head's too close to the roof.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there are a lot of things physically that a car, you got to fit. And if it doesn't fit, if you're a really big guy, it's a problem.
Right. Autoflex Leasing Fantex, can I trade in my car to get a car to lease?
Yes. Okay.
Well, there's a little bit more to that. You would be able to apply your positive equity toward reducing the overall cost of the new lease, or you could have that money back in cash. We give a lot of customers their equity back in cash because interest rates are so low that, you know, financing more money costs less these days. And then they can have their equity back to reinvest or pay off another bill that might be a higher interest rate. We've done the same with rebates. You know, with holidays coming up, you might find that $1,000 rebate, lowering your payments $20 a month, isn't that big a deal, while having $1,000 cash in your hand at Christmas time. Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about that.
Right?
Let's talk about rebates and incentives, because they're actually different. Incentives are offered by the manufacturer. Some people think the dealer is giving them money. They're not. It's always the manufacturer that does that. So when you see one of those up to $12,000 off MSRP, that is because the manufacturer is trying to get you to buy their brand of vehicle. So the money comes through the dealer, but it's the manufacturer's money, and that's an incentive. And that's what you see online a lot, or that's what you see in ads. They will apply those incentives, and that's just off the price of the car. Now, rebates are a little different because you can actually get cash back for a rebate if you have a down payment, or if your trade has equity and you don't need a down payment. You can actually request the rebate be paid to you in cash. And we have people that do that when they lease cars from us. If they have the ability to lease the car without using the rebate, they simply ask for the rebate back in cash and they get a check. Simple as that. So the incentive comes off the price of the car. A rebate can come off the price of the car, or it can be returned to the buyer as a cash incentive. Again, though, all of those are from the car manufacturers as an incentive to buy that particular brand cars. Now, the other thing out there is what we call trunk money, and that is the incentives that the manufacturers provide to the dealers to sell certain cars, and then dealers can choose to pass that along to their customers. And sometimes their stair step, that's a stair step rebate or incentive, stair step incentive. And that is if they sell 100 of one kind of car, they get an additional $300, $400, $500, maybe even $1,000 back from the manufacturer for every single car they sold once they hit that 100 mark.
In the trunk.
It's in the trunk. And so the public doesn't really know about that trunk money. That's why it's called trunk money. Now, we do. That's our business. And so one of the things we consider when you're talking to us about cars is, according to where you stand, is how much is that trunk money? Where can we get that trunk money? Because certain dealers give it to you, certain dealers don't. And you never see ads about this or hear about this because it's just within, it's the dealer's prerogative to give it back or not. So, and a lot of dealers, like with us, we buy a lot of cars. They'll give us that discount up front before, because they know they're going to hit their numbers.
Mm-hmm.
They go ahead and give it to us up front because they know they're going to hit their numbers. They know they'll sell. They've sold 100 of whatever every month for the last 3 years. They know they're going to sell 100 of them. So they give us that discount going in before they reach the number because they know they're going to get it back. Any advertised incentive you see or rebate that you see is available through Autoflex, except the ones where they say you can get the incentive or 0% APR. And then that would not be, because you would have to finance the vehicle with the manufacturer. And that's a different kind of incentive, because that's an incentive interest rate that they give you, and you've got to have great credit to qualify for that.
But the other thing is you have to give up the rebate in order to get that zero.
Exactly.
So it's really six of one, half dozen of the other. I would rather have the car at the lower price and pay a little interest, because what if I decided to pay it off early, trade it in, car gets totaled, you know, then my overall cost was really higher because I paid $1,000 more because I was banking on 0% instead of paying just really, what's the difference between 2 and 3%? It's not that much. It's not $1,000 all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So I would rather do my lease at Autoflex, get all the incentives, and then also have a low interest rate lease.
So whether you're going to buy the car, lease the car, and no matter where you get it, you should really look at those different options, because 0% APR does not save you very much money. And one of the things that you should look out for is doing a very long-term loan to get that 0% APR. You'll see the advertisements. We have 0% at 72 months. Well, how long do you want to keep the car? Because a 72-month loan is going to keep you in the car a long time.
Yes.
And a lot of people want to trade. And the reason is cars depreciate really quickly to begin with. When you look at your car payment, like on a lease, you're really dividing up the first year depreciation over how many years. That's why a 3-year lease is higher than a 4-year lease, is higher than a 5-year lease as far as the monthly payment, because you're still just paying that first year depreciation. That's the majority. A car depreciates more in the first year than it does in the next 5 or 6.
Right.
So
year 1, 2, and 3 is the severe. It really starts to kind of, when you watch that graph,
mm-hmm.
it gets a lot gentler. I did find another segment on the toll, the TexPress, and I understand where David's coming from now. I want to go back. Earlier, we were talking about TexPress lanes and the NTTA, and well, they really helped me out with just getting all my stuff straightened out, but they're the billing company. That's who I was dealing with, was the billing company. And what David told me about this, whenever I told him what I was told about the raising the prices during peak traffic hours and so forth, he just says it's all about the money. And another article I found, it, you know, it's not really that positive. It's a Spain
yeah.
built the TexPress, and so they hired, basically the government gave this
contract,
the roads, to a private company, so that when we don't like it, we're complaining at them and not our constituents.
Ah.
Not our government. Yeah. Yeah. It's an interesting thing. I don't think that the rationale that the heavier traffic gets, the fewer people will use it, works for me.
Well, right. And here's the issue though, for those people who, and I think this part of the story was wrong, because what I read earlier, if it's correct, when you get on, it's going to stay the same price at the price that you entered. So I don't see why people would decide suddenly to jump off. They were talking about the fast traffic and the slower traffic merging in, and somebody deciding at the last minute, oh, I don't want to pay this, I'm going to jump back off. I thought maybe once you were committed at that lower price. But I'm sure our listeners could tell us more. I drive 3 miles each way. I don't have to get on
Lucky.
The hallway daily.
It doesn't seem fair, though, that the price can spike like that just within a matter of minutes. You know, they change it according to traffic flow.
Right.
It doesn't seem fair.
The problem with fair is someone gets to decide what fair is.
Right.
That's the problem with fair. Yeah. Doesn't matter what you're talking about, by the way.
I'll never forget when I was much younger, the first time I was told life isn't fair, whenever I was complaining how that isn't fair. I turned my head kind of like my dog when I'm talking to my dog. Like, really? I don't get it. But that'll be interesting to see how this really... The 6 months, the reason it's a fixed price for 6 months is they're supposed to be studying what happens on
traffic
the road.
Traffic flow.
Yeah. And our erratic human behavior.
Got
jumping
it.
In and how are we going to, because I'm just staying off of it now. I already know how people drive.
There's another driver down there on Central without his lights on. Turn your lights on.
There's several. I see three
Turn your
right
lights
there
on.
Together.
Well, let's call them out in case they're listening to the Saturday morning test
there's
drive.
There's a dark kind of bluish gray truck and then two white cars.
And this is northbound 75 right by Haskell.
And then
Haskell.
There's a red car and he's passing the white car and he's coming up on the other car on the left. And here comes a white van passing up
Trouble!
Slowly on the right
Trouble
lane.
In turn one. All right. We've
Moving
got,
right along.
Yeah, we've got 2 minutes yeah. left, so let's do something good here.
Okay, well, we'll talk about Fiat losing 4 times as much money in 14 as they did in 13.
Ooh.
I'm sorry. It's not a good story.
No, that's not good at all.
Okay, so let's go back to rebates for a minute. The thing I would talk about rebates is if you're looking for a car, you need to consider all those rebates. If you don't have all the information you need, if you call us, we actually have a computer program that has every rebate available on every car and every incentive on every car.
And you might actually be able to get rebates you don't know about. The mm-hmm. things they don't advertise. Like if you're a member of the plumbers union, there could be an additional rebate if you're interested in a truck. Just all kinds. Sometimes there's something for educators. First time buyers coming out of college. Things like that. So definitely worth giving us a call.
That's right. 817 or 972-234-1234 are the numbers. Or you can go on to autoflex.com. And if you missed any of the stories we talked about today, click on the Facebook page, like it, and follow along with everything we chatted about. We're here every Saturday morning at 9 o'clock. We can, we'll talk to you next time for David Blessingame and Tammy Pickard. I'm Sybil Summers. Thanks to Snuggles. This has been the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Auto Flex Leasing. Get down the stairs. Clowns to the left of me.